Great. God is good. So let's pray this morning. How about that? Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would guide us this morning, guide this message, Lord. We thank you for who you are, for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. And we just thank you for giving us the ability to come together and worship you. Lord, I just thank you for everything that you're doing. I thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and giving us the ability to come to you. Even though we're not worthy, even though we could never do anything to amount, but that's why you came. That's why you suffered on the cross and that you rose on the third day, so that we can come before you, forgiven, as long as we receive you, Lord. And I just thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. So we are nearing the end of the first part of our series. So in the series called Forward, Taking Your Next Step with Christ, with Jesus, in the past few weeks, we've been just going through this first section, you know, follow Jesus. You know, what does it look like to follow Jesus? What is the Bible teaching us? You know, because following Jesus is a personal decision. You know, and Jesus comes to all types of people, right? He's not picking just this certain type. He says, follow me. He goes to people with various backgrounds, and through the message we've heard, it is clear that Jesus wants all people to come to him. And Jesus invites people into a relationship with him. And over these past few weeks, we've watched that invitation go out to various people. So in Luke 5, we met Simon Peter, who left everything. And throughout the gospel accounts, we can also see that Jesus at that time was calling Andrew, James, and John to leave everything and follow him. We met Levi, the tax collector, who left his old life behind to follow Jesus. We also witnessed through our series the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Now, it doesn't say specifically that Nicodemus converted, but we do see evidence throughout the gospel that Nicodemus does begin that relationship, or he at least has the understanding, the knowledge, and he knows that something's there. And so we also encountered the young ruler who walked away because he couldn't let go of what he built. When Jesus said, leave everything, sell all your possessions, leave everything behind and follow me, he couldn't do it. Different people, different background, and different responses. But every single one of them receives the same invitation. Follow me. And now, this morning, I want us to see how this conversation changes. You know, so Jesus, in what we're going to read this morning in John 15, Jesus is no longer talking and calling strangers to become his disciples. That is an ongoing process, and he's continually telling people to follow me. But right now, what we're going to watch or listen is that he's speaking to those who have answered the invitation. Doesn't say that others aren't around or listening, but he's specifically speaking to those who have received this invitation. And also, just to kind of let you know where we're at, like we jumped forward a little bit. So this conversation is after Judas has left to betray Jesus. And Jesus is sharing these words with the 11 disciples before his crucifixion. And these men have walked with him for nearly 3 years. They've left everything to follow him, witnessed his miracles, listened to his teaching. And the question for them is no longer, will you follow me? The question is, how will you continue following me? And the answer Jesus gives is simple. Jesus says, remain in me. Because when we follow Christ, when we accept Christ into our heart, it's not a one and done, bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. No, right? It's not this one thing, and you're like, cool, I have Christ, back pocket, he's on my shelf. We don't do it. That's not what we're called to do. We follow him. And Jesus was always on the move, amen? If he had a little watch that counted his steps, whew, he'd probably put us all to shame. You know, I try to get 10,000 steps a day, and I don't make it all the time. He's probably like, that's cute. I do that in the morning, right? But he's moving. He's moving forward, and he says, follow me. And then in this section, he's going to say, remain in me. So if you have your Bible, if you want to just listen, we're going to be in John 15, verses 1 through 17 this morning. And Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and in my word and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appoint you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. So we see Jesus speaking as a friend. He's letting them know, remain in me. So one of the clearest themes in this passage is the use of remain. Jesus is constantly saying, remain. He says things like obey, love, but remain is that word. In just these 17 verses, because I like to do the math, I like to do all those things, he uses the word remain 11 times in 17 verses. Probably pretty important then, right? He says, remain in me, 5. He speaks of remaining in us, and his words remaining in us. And then he calls us to remain in his love. And then he points to his own example of remaining in the Father's love. And that repetition is very intentional, that before Jesus even speaks about bearing fruit, before Jesus even speaks about that fruit coming from the vine, he's talking about and emphasizing on abiding in him. That fruit is the result of remaining connected to the vine. Right? If we take a branch, if a branch falls off a tree, it looks green for a few days, right? It might look decent for a little while. Slowly it starts kind of draining, doesn't look as vibrant anymore, starts to become more brittle over time. As soon as you disconnect it from that vine, from the root, it's no longer connected to the source of life. And over the past several weeks, we've been walking through what it means to be called forward, this movement. And as a church, I want us to follow this pathway that God has just been opening up in my life through talking with, you know, family, my wife, been talking with the district and, you know, people in our church, people that I rely on, that I call throughout the week and just open up to. And this pathway of discipleship, what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? What does it mean to follow him? And we are going through follow Jesus, and then we grow in Jesus, and then we live for Jesus, and then we help others follow Jesus. And we just continually do that. And right now, as we're still in follow Jesus, here's what I feel that Jesus wants us to understand, is that following him is not about just saying yes once. Following Jesus is a daily relationship. And before we ever begin talking about the spiritual growth or serving or making disciples or all these things that we want to do as Christians, that we say we want to do as a church, we want to go reach the community, we want to do that, we want to do this, we want to have this program, all these things, we want to reach people. But before that happens, Jesus teaches us that the foundation of it all is him saying, remain in me. Because apart from him, you can do nothing. Remain in Christ. So you never graduate from following Christ. It is a daily relationship. Just as, you know, there's this connection in the Bible that we always connect different things, you know, the bride, the groom, marriage, right? When we say yes to our spouse, for those of us who are married, for those of us who aren't, one day. But when we say yes to our spouse, it's not that one day. Okay, I said yes. Have fun, right? Trust me. It is a working relationship. It doesn't just come. It doesn't just happen. Me and my wife, every day, we wake up. We strive to be together. We have good days. We have not so good days. But we don't go to bed without talking to each other. There is times where we're like, you know what, this is better till tomorrow. But we agree on it, right? We don't let each other go to sleep with this mindset of like, nah, nah, nah. But every day we're together. We remain in each other. We are connected. Same thing with Christ. When you say yes to Jesus and you begin that relationship, every day you wake up is a chance for you to grow closer to him, to remain in him, to be with him. If I went a week, 2 weeks, a month without speaking with my wife, without hanging out with my wife, without being together with my wife, I would feel weird, wouldn't it? People might look at you and go, something wrong? Is your marriage okay? But we do the same thing with Christ. We spend a day without speaking to him. We spend a week without speaking to him. Sometimes we go months without even having any relationship with him. We just do the passerby. So when Jesus is saying, remain in me, without being rooted in Christ, we begin to drift. We lose the passion. Other things slowly capture our attention. And before long, we don't have that same joy that we used to. You know, think back to the day that you gave your life to Christ. That joy, that excitement, that I want to tell everybody, I want to shout it from the rooftops feeling. It's a good feeling, amen? Many Christians spend years and years trying to recreate that moment. They're like, why do I not feel the way I felt? Why do I not feel like I did that day? Why am I not crying the way I was that day? What's wrong? The problem isn't that we've lost the feeling, okay? The problem is we've mistaken our activities for connection. We've been trying to recreate an experience, the music, the lights, the location, the youth camp, We've been trying to recreate the experience instead of remaining in Jesus, the one who gave us that hope and that life and feeling in the first place. So for many of us, that coming to Christ moment is connected to a specific memory. I can tell you exactly what I was doing. My youth group, it was a dome. I can't even explain how to picture it. Like, we weren't in the church. We were allowed in the church. But they put all of us outside the church in like this tent structure in Vanguard University. And I can tell you, that night it was Worship X. It was a night that we had once a month as a youth group where we did not do anything except play games and just worship God. No long message, just music, lights were low. You can go to the cross and nail on index cards your whatever you wanted, your prayer, giving something to Christ, you can nail it to the cross, right? I was sitting in the back of that room on my knees crying, and that's where I accepted Christ. I can tell you exactly what I was doing. And most of us who have accepted Christ in our hearts can tell us the same thing, the same story. This is what I was doing. This is where I was at. Maybe it was at a youth camp during a concert. Maybe it was a quiet moment that you were having. And those memories are very precious to us. They're sentimental to us. But we often mistake the thinking that we need to create the place and the circumstances of those feelings to experience the closeness with God again. But the truth is, it was never the location, it was never that moment, it was never those things that changed your life. It was Jesus. It was that moment was powerful because that's when you opened your heart to Him. That's when you accepted Him. That's when you were close to Him. He drew near to you. You drew near to Him. And if you're longing, if you're sitting here this morning and you're longing for that feeling and you're saying, why? And like maybe you've been in these moments of, why do I not feel close to God? Why do I not feel connected to Him? Why do I feel like I've been drifting? If you're longing to experience that joy again, don't chase the memory. Chase Jesus. Stay close to Him because His presence is not tied to a place. It's found through abiding in Him. When Jesus says, remain in me, when we are close to Jesus, when we bring ourselves close to Jesus, that moment is where we find the joy. For instance, I normally don't have my phone up here because I don't like bulky things on my pocket, but brought it up here today because I wanted to show you this. So imagine our phone. We all have one, right? Got to watch YouTube, TikTok, whatever you do, movies. Very rarely do I know anybody who walks away from this. Though you'll forget your wallet. You'll forget your car keys. But man, if you forget your phone, ooh-wee, right? But imagine your phone is at 1%. You guys, everyone just got a little bit anxiety, didn't you? All right? If your phone's at 1%, what is your thought? You're going to connect it. You need to find the charger, don't you? That's your first thought. Where's my charger? I got to get my charger. You don't blame the phone, do you? Your phone's just at 1%. You need to connect it to the charger. So you go, where's my charger? What room did I put it in last? Am I in my car? Do I have a charger in my car? That's what you do. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about in John 15. We ourselves were never created to be continually disconnected or at all disconnected from Christ. Just like our phone, over time, when we go, Jesus, I don't need you today. I'm doing my own thing today. I have my schedule. I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to do my own thing. Over time, the battery begins to drain. Things happen. Things come into your life. But we are never meant to live disconnected from Him. Because over time, through our own effort, no matter what we do, our efforts begin to drain our day. We drain when we are not remaining in Christ. And that's why Jesus repeats, remain in me. Because he's not just the giver of life. He's the source of life. So if you're spiritually drained, if you're overwhelmed, if you're having a bad day, if you feel disconnected, any of those things, when Jesus says, follow me, and you're like, I'm following Jesus, but for some reason I don't feel his presence. I don't know he's here. I haven't felt it in a while, but I've accepted the call. I follow Jesus in my life, but I don't feel it. That might be your cue that you're at 1%. And you need to get to that charger. You need to get to that source of life quick and charge up. And guess what? Let's just stay connected to Jesus. Don't ever let that battery go under 100%. Because every time that battery goes down 10%, 90%, 80%, 70%, the lower we get, the more things in the life start to take up that time. Oh, you don't need your phone. Just one more thing, one more thing. Come over here today. Oh, you don't need Jesus tonight. Just go to the movie. Go hang out with your friends. No, stay up and watch one more episode. Nope. You don't need Jesus this morning. Just wake up. You're late for work. Get to work. You don't need Jesus this morning. Get in the car. Listen to your favorite music, your favorite podcast, your favorite thing. Over time, you get to the point where you're like, I'm dead. I'm done. I'm drained. I've got nothing left, and I don't know what to do. Remain in Jesus. Connect to Jesus. And ask yourself, am I remaining in him? And Jesus says in verses 4 to 5, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we're not remaining in Christ, the world will gladly fill our time, our energy, and our attention. And before long, our relationship with Jesus becomes the extra thing in our week instead of the center. Jesus said, remain in me. But here's the question. Has Jesus become the center of your life, or is he just another part of it? Work, family, sports, hobbies, even ministry can slowly push us away or push him to the side, put him in the margins. And before long, your relationship with Jesus becomes the extra thing. Oh, do I have time for it today? Do I have time to fit it in your week? But Jesus needs to be the foundation that you build your life on. Has Jesus become the center of your life? Or is Jesus being pushed to the margins? And let's be honest, many of us want the promises Jesus gives while neglecting the relationship that he calls us to. We want peace. We want the joy. We want the direction. We definitely want his blessing. But too often, we want to receive those things without remaining in the one who provides them. We want it all, but I don't want to spend my time in that today. I got other things to do. With the 11 disciples, Jesus knew that they were about to step into a world that would compete for their attention, their priorities, their devotion. And that's true for us today, isn't it? That we all have careers to pursue, families to care for, vacations to plan. My wife likes to do that. Tell her the word vacation. She's already on her phone looking at tickets. You don't have to tell her where you want to go on vacation because she only looks up Hawaii, but it's okay. Hobbies to enjoy, you know, goals that we want to accomplish. But none of these things, they're not wrong. It's not wrong to have those things. It's not wrong to have fun. But the problem comes when those things become the center of our lives instead of Christ. And before long, we're asking Jesus to bless the life we've built instead of building our lives around him. And Jesus never said, build your life and invite me into it. He said, remain in me. Sometimes we ask God to bless the decisions that he was never invited into. We make plans, we choose our own direction, and then we ask God to put his stamp of approval on them. But what if the better question isn't, God, will you bless my plans? But instead we ask, God, are these really the plans you have for my life? And then we listen, and then we wait. Because sometimes we face two options, and they're both honoring God. That's the thing. Sometimes you can be facing multiple options, and they're both honoring to God. And in those moments, our greatest concern isn't finding this perfect option, but instead, it's remaining closest to Christ. Which option is going to make you remain in him? Which option is going to be right for you and your family? And when we abide in him and we are seeking his will, he's faithful to guide our steps, bless our obedience. But when we leave Christ out of those decisions, when we leave Christ out of our life, and we just make decisions and we just want that stamp of approval, we're like, God, I got it all. I got the plan already. I'm done. I know what I'm doing. I know what I want. I know how to get there. Will you bless this? When we do it backwards like that, we shouldn't be surprised when we become frustrated with Christ when things do not turn out the way we hoped. Because if we are putting ourselves first and saying, God, bless that, and God's like, that's not what the plan was for your life. And we're just like, God, I have it all planned out. I want to be with you. Bless this thing. God's like, no, that's not the blessing that you were having. That's not the call that you have in your life. That's not the direction you're supposed to go. Now, there's a lot of things we can choose, and God is going to bless those things regardless of what we choose. But the question is, are you remaining in Christ while you do those things? You don't have to be a pastor for the rest of your life. You don't have to be a minister. I love it, by the way. I'm not saying that. But you don't have to do that. You can be a courtesy clerk at the grocery store. You can be a manager of a tech company. It doesn't matter. It's just what matters is, do you remain in Christ through that? Is Christ the driving factor of your life in that moment? Or have you chosen that thing over Christ and saying, God, this is what I'm doing. Bless me. See how backwards it gets? But if we say, God, you're the foundation of my life, this is where I feel called, I want to do this, I'm going to step with you in this, you're my rock, you're my salvation, and everything I do in this is to glorify you. There's a difference there. But without remaining in Christ, we are in danger of looking connected while slowly becoming disconnected. We can go to all the events, we can go to all the concerts. There we go. Sounds different. We can go to all the events, the concerts. We can listen to music. We can have the bumper sticker. Amen. But do you truly remain in him throughout the week? Because all these weeks that we've seen these people say, I will follow you, Lord. Jesus is saying, follow me. Leave your nets. Follow me. Leave your tax booth. Follow me. Sell all your possessions and follow me. When we are following him, are you remaining in him? Are you close to him? Because Jesus invites us all when he says, follow me. We are called to follow him. But a relationship with him and continuing to follow him every day in our life. And that's how we grow in Christ, by remaining in him. So we are always connected to the true vine, because without that, we will drain. We will become spiritually dead at some point if we do not remain in the vine with Christ. But through Christ, we are alive. We're filled with joy and continually connected to the one who gives us life. Here's one of the most sobering truths to me that I found in Scripture. You can be incredibly close to Jesus and still not truly remain in him. Judas walked with Jesus for nearly 3 years, heard every sermon Jesus preached, witnessed every miracle, served alongside the other disciples, and we don't know what his heart was in those moments. He accepted Christ, he wanted to follow Christ, but maybe along the way he no longer remained in Christ. And outwardly he looked like every other follower, yet in the end he chose to betray Jesus. Being around Jesus and remaining in Jesus are not the same. So the question isn't whether you are around Jesus, around the events, around the people, around the services. The question is whether you remain in him in your life. So church, I don't want us to miss how Jesus is speaking to the disciples right now. Because Jesus doesn't simply say, find a vine. He doesn't say, plug into something. It's one of the funny things about iPhones. You don't plug in anything else other than what iPhone gives you. You can buy something else, but that is what iPhone is known for. This is what you plug into. This is how you do it. Jesus doesn't say, just find a vine. He says, I am the true vine. Every ounce of our spiritual life that you're looking for begins and ends with him. If you're looking for peace, searching for joy, strength, purpose, hope, Jesus doesn't point you somewhere else. He points you to himself. And he says, remain in me. So this morning, you may feel like you've been distant. You may feel like you've accepted the calling of follow me. You're following Jesus. You said, yes, I accepted the call. He said, follow me, and I said, yes. But maybe you're feeling drained. Maybe you're feeling tired. Maybe you're feeling overworked. Maybe you're feeling stressed. Maybe Jesus isn't the source of your joy, your clarity, your happiness. And instead, Jesus becomes a byproduct of your life that you have built around other things. If that's true, you can come back to Jesus and remain in him today, this instant. All you need to do is turn back to him. All you need to do is make him the center of everything and allow him to guide your life from here on out. You don't have to change things, okay? You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to change your friendships. You don't have to change any of that stuff. You just need to change your mindset in the morning when you start your day with everything you do. Instead of, I'm going to go do this for me, you say, Jesus, I'm going to work for you at wherever I'm going to work. Jesus, open the door for a conversation today. Open the door for me to pray for someone today. Jesus, your will be done in my life today. Jesus, what do you want me to do for you today? Live the same life. Go to the same places. Have the same friendships. Have the same jobs. Have a different mindset. Instead of, I'm going here to make my money so I can do my thing, so I can go on my vacation, you go, Lord, thank you for blessing me with this. Thank you for blessing me with what you have given me. Thank you for giving me the ability so I can go rest and get close to you on this vacation. Jesus says, remain in me. And we will remain in him if we want to grow spiritually. And next week, as we start this next chapter, I'll call it, in our series, grow in Jesus. To grow in Jesus means that you are with Jesus. You are connected to Jesus. You are learning about Jesus. Because when we say we follow Jesus, our next question is, or should be, how do I get to know Jesus better? Because as we get to know him and know who he is in our life and know what he wants and know his character, that's when we can say, I'm going to grow in Jesus so I can become more like him. You can't become like something you don't know. It's pretty impossible to do. So let's start remaining in him so we can grow in him. Let's pray.